This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Today, inshallah ta'ala, we will recite until the end of Surah Al-Ahqaf, which is the end of the cluster of surahs that we were talking about yesterday, the Hawameem. So we actually will complete the Hawameem, won't do anything more. And tomorrow I get to talk about a new group of surahs. It's always nice if I can limit my my talks on a small groups of surahs, which I'll try and do next year in terms of the breakdown. We didn't do a very good job in watching out for that piece when we broke it down this year. Next year we'll try to stick to end of the clusters if possible. So the Hawameem from Ghafir to the end of Ahqaf, which is basically Ghafir, Fussilat, Shura, Zukhruf, Dukhan, Al-Jathi, Al-Ahqaf, the seven surahs, and they are all advice and warnings on the way of da'wah, like on the way of spreading the message to people, different than the cluster earlier from Isra' to An-Naml that talked about taking the message on a societal level, like actually taking it as in establishing a civilization for it and stabilizing it, what that requires, which is a different discussion. When those surahs talked about things were a bit more operational, a little bit more higher level thought processes. Here is da'wah. It's how you're going to try and spread this message to people. How are you going to take it and carry it to others and try and get people to accept or enter Islam or appreciate the beauty of what they have. And al-hawameem, that's really what they do. They just offer you some important pieces of advice to follow. And so Ghafir talks about the first piece, which is taking it to those who to argue against it. Like don't take it only to those who are asking for it or looking for it, but also take it to those who don't want it. You know, you take it and have the arguments with them or the discussions or the conversations, and do that while you're connected to Allah. I mean, you have to do that parallel with your own dua. And that's why this surah emphasizes الَّذِينَ يُجَادِلُونَ and dua, like these two concepts of you doing your job but keeping that connection alive with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Surah Al-Fussilat talks about the fact that da'wah is best done with behavior. It's just better done with behaviors. Because people who refuse to listen, they bring upon themselves punishment. If they won't even listen to what you have to say, then you actually put them at, you jeopardize them, and you put yourself. But if you don't necessarily push that agenda, and you focus on achievements and accomplishments and character and ethics, you actually do a better job, and it affects people more. And not to say that you shouldn't do it verbally, but that's what is kind of making an argument for behavior. And then the final one, Surah Al-Shura, talks about having reference points, having originality in terms of your values, and one of those being shura, one of the central ones being working as a group, working as a community, consultation, and not really moving in a direction without making sure the community is actually in agreement with that movement. That's very important. If you're going to perform da'wah, this is going to be needed. And those are the three pieces of advice that the surahs offer. So the other three that we're going to recite today, Zukhruf, Dukhan, Al-Jathiyah, they offer some warning. Zukhruf warns you from the mentality of materialism. And I talked about this maybe 2 years ago after Fajr, during weekends. We did Tafsir Surah Az-Zukhruf, and I went through the whole surah. And it talks about the pitfall of materialistic thinking and how that causes a lot. Like if you're materialistic in the way that you look at things, it's Zukhruf. Zukhruf is adornments or how things are made flashy or they look good. They look pretty, even though they may not have substance to them. If you become materialistic in how you judge things, you run masajid like businesses. If you run da'wah like businesses, if you look at communities as if you're running it doesn't work out. Like it doesn't. That's not gonna work. In your path of da'wah, you have to be able to see beyond the materialistic aspect of it all. And the surah talks about that in many ways, and it gives a lot of examples. And if we do a few verses, it'll become clear to you, inshallah. And you can always go back to the tafsir we did 2 years ago and listen to the full thing. And it's a self-explanatory surah, honestly, when it comes to the theme. Surah Dukhan talks about the illusion. Having delusional thinking. You're thinking in a way where you're not realistic, you're not logical. You're not preparing yourself for what is to come. Like you're not reading the signs of what's happening around you, and you're engaging in delusional thinking, which is a big problem. All these things that these surahs talk about, it's exactly what we have to take time and really contemplate. This is exactly what our problems are. We're not reading the signs. When you're not reading the signs of what's actually occurring within your society or coming towards your community or what you're at jeopardy for, then you can't protect yourself. And if you engage in delusional thinking where you just tell yourself lies so that you feel better about where you are, then you're dooming yourself. And that's why I complain a lot about things. And so I keep on pushing, pointing out problems, because I find it to be problematic or scary if we, you know, if we're going to ignore what's occurring around us, ignoring all the signs, and we ignore that we're seeing problems and we're seeing deficits and we're seeing gaps and we're not trying to fix them, and that we are engaging in a lot of this cloud optimism, where you just, everything is good, everything is going great, we're all, it's not. And it doesn't mean that it can't be, it just means that it's not right now. And being able to see the signs of that and think logically about it, I think is important. And then Surah Al-Jathi talks about, it warns, so Surah Al-Zukhruf warns from a materialistic mentality. Surah Al-Dukhan warns from delusional thinking and lack of reading signs and seeing things for what they are. Surah Al-Jathi warns from arrogance when you have knowledge. Because as Muslims, you'll see yourself to be a little bit more knowledgeable. Because when you learn the Qur'an and you learn the values and the principles that the Qur'an teaches, it's very profound. It opens your mind and you end up understanding things that maybe a lot of people don't fully understand. And you appreciate things that maybe not everyone appreciates. So you have a bit more knowledge. But if that leads somehow to arrogance, which is what Surah Al-Jathiya warns of, then it's a downfall, and it's a downward spiral from there. Like you can't recover from it. You cannot allow the ilm that you have or the da'wah that you're carrying to make you feel arrogant or for it to guide you or take you in a direction where you start looking down at those who don't have that which you have or those who refuse what you have. That's not appropriate. That doesn't work that way, which is what Surah Al-Jathiya basically explains. And those are the three warnings in these three surahs. And the last surah in this cluster, which is Surah Al-Ahqaf, it tells you that the outcomes, it states a fact. Like three surahs give positive things to do. You do this, this, this. The other three surahs, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this. And then the last one says, at the end, the outcome is in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You can't control it. Even if you follow all of the recommendations, even if you take the recommendations of Surah Ghafir, Shura, Fussilat, and even if you avoid the warnings of Zukhruf, Dukhan, Al-Jathiyah, still, the outcome is not in your hands. You can't control who is going to respond, who's not going to respond, who's going to listen, who's not going to listen. That is purely in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sometimes you'll do the best job and no one will listen. And sometimes you'll do no job at all and people will listen. You can't control that piece. That piece is in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You do your best, you follow these rulings, you follow these laws, you follow these recommendations and you avoid the warnings. But then you have to accept that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the outcome is purely in His hands subhanahu wa ta'ala. He completely controls the outcome. That's what Surah Al-Ahqaf teaches. And it's obvious in the stories that it tells, the story of Ahqaf, it talks the story of the people of Hud, when they were in a place called Al-Ahqaf. And Hud did everything right and they didn't listen. And then the Prophet alayhi salam had the jinn within the story after it accept him. He never talked to them. He didn't even know they were there. So when it comes to doing these things, you don't know. When it comes to your children, I will say that in sending the ihsan, and the same thing. You don't know who's going to be good enough. You just don't know. You can't control that piece. So take the recommendations, the warnings, seriously, follow them, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will decree whatever He wants to decree. And I love that fact that this surah is at the end of this cluster, just to kind of tell you, by the way, these recommendations and warnings, they're not bulletproof. Like, they don't always work, but you have to do them. Like, you have to actually follow that. You have to take your da'wah to those who do not want to argue against it, and you have to have those discussions with them so that the idea is crystallized and it's clear that the argument is superior. You have to do that while your heart is connected to Allah. You have to do it with dua. You have to do it with dua. You can't be disconnected from God when you're doing it, because then it becomes an issue of I'm right and you're wrong, which is not. It's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestowed a blessing upon me. I want to see if I can get it to you, if possible. So Tafsir reminds us that character is the best form of da'wah, and Shura reminds us that you have to have a reference and that you need to have consultation within your community for it to work. So those are the recommendations. Those are the three things you have to make sure you do. You have to make sure that you take it to those who don't want it, you do it with connection with Allah, you do it with your character, and you have a proper setup within your community so that the consultation occurs and you actually have a proper reference point. And you have to avoid a materialistic approach to things. You have to avoid delusional thinking and lacking the ability to read signs. You have to avoid arrogance with the knowledge that you're given. Now, if you do all that, still, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who decrees whether it works or not, and that's what Surah Al-Ahqaf tells you. And that's the Hawameen. And that's, in a nutshell, what the Hawameen talk about. And they're very beautiful surahs in there. And they all have like aspects of the story of Musa alayhi salam bin Israel, because he ran through all of it alayhi salam. Musa alayhi salam did all the right things, ran into all the wrong things. Like he avoided all the wrong things with Bani Israel, and still he didn't get what he wanted. Like they still didn't all respond the way they should have. And that's just how things are. That's just the reality of life. So what we're gonna do is we're gonna start with some of the verses. I don't think anyone's voted at all. Oh, we do. Oh, actually, we do. Oh, we have a lot. Oh, nice. Okay. I stand corrected. So let's do ayah number 47 of Surah Ash-Shura.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم استجيبوا لربكم من قبل أن يأتي يوم لا مرد له من الله ما لكم من ملجأ يومئذ وما لكم من نكير.
So towards the end of Surah Ash-Shura, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after He gave the characteristics of the believers and how they work together, how they perform their da'wah, and what references they have as they do it, the end of it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us these beautiful verses. End of Surah Ash-Shura is really, really nice. It's really, really nice. It says, إِسْتَجِيبُوا لِرَبِّكُمْ مِنْ قَبْلِ أَنْ يَأْتِيَ يَوْمٌ لَا مَرَدَّ لَهُ مِنَ اللَّهِ. Respond to your Lord. إِسْتَجِيبُوا is respond. Respond to your Lord. Respond to the teachings. Respond to the commands. Respond to the rulings. Respond to the laws. Respond to the recommendations that He's offering you. Respond to your Lord. مِنْ قَبْلِ before. Before the day comes where there is no way back from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I mean, you have no way to leave His presence and go and do it right again and then come back. La maradda lahu min Allah. There's no second chance. There's no return. You're standing in front of Him subhanahu wa ta'ala and your mind is like, just send me back for a moment. It was a test. I get it now. Let me go back and I'll do it better. I'll respond the way I was saying and I'll come back. But la maradda lahu min Allah. There is no going back. There's no way for you to retreat from the position that you're in to go back and do things correctly anymore. It's a one-time deal. Istajibu li rabbikum. You have to respond now. You have to respond to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling you now. Before you come to a position where there's no marad, there's no way back. You can't go back and try things again. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not give you that chance. Ma lakum min malja'i yawma'idhin wa ma lakum min nakir. You don't have a place to hide that day. And you don't have anyone who will just chastise you and move along. Like that's not an option where you can just be, you know, slapped on the wrist and then it's gone. No, at that moment it's terminal. The judgment that is given that day is that it's the bottom line. There's really nothing. There's no appeal after this happens. And this ayah just, you know, in my opinion, the way I see it, it summarizes really what this whole story is going to be about. You have to respond now. Respond does not necessarily mean that you're going to do everything right, right? He didn't say أطيعوا ربكم, obey, or no, he said استجيبوا, respond. Meaning when he asks you to do something, try your best. Do what you can to respond positively to what it is that he asked you to do. Because subhanahu wa ta'ala knows that we don't have the capacity to do to do anything perfectly. We just don't. And we're very, you know, very fortunate that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala acknowledges that all throughout the Quran and in the Sunnah and the Prophet alayhi salam's life, that we are not we can't do things in a flawless manner. There's always going to be deficits and mistakes and problems. And since that's the case, what he's asked for as in a summarizing verse, in a verse that is concise and very, very short and simple, he said, "Istajibu li rabbikum." He responds to you when you make dua. Yeah. وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ أُجِيبُ دَعْوَةَ الدَّاعِ إِذَا دَعَانِ. He'll respond to you. What you're required to do is فَلِيَسْتَجِيبُ لِي. You're required to respond to him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Respond as in you hear what it is that he's asking you to do, that you prioritize and you try your absolute best to do that, to whatever extent you're capable, however that's going to end up looking like at the end. Because every one of us is going to be a little bit different in to which degree we're going to be able to follow Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's commands and teachings of the Quran. Which is why it's important for us as people to lessen the amount of time we spend maybe looking at how others are doing things and focus a little bit more on our own responses and whether what I'm doing right now is the best response I have to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is explaining and teaching and commanding in terms of my relationship with Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I have to do, and there's a sense of urgency in this ayah. Do it before the day comes where you have no way back, where you cannot return. Right now, see, this is the advantage of the moment that you and I are living. You can repent right now and you can change things immediately. And you can go back and fix things. This opportunity is priceless, really. It's priceless. It's priceless when you know that very soon in the future, you're not going to have it anymore. You don't have the capacity or the ability to go back and fix things. And the one that asks you to respond to him will deprive you your ability to go back and try again. You have nowhere to hide from him. مَالَكُم مِّن مَلْجَئٍ يَوْمَئِذٍ. You have nowhere to hide from him. مَالَكُم مِّن نَكِيرٍ. And there's no one who's going to... chastise you and kind of move along. It's going to be a terminal choice. That's something that for all of us, yeah, I need to reflect upon and contemplate. Now let's do Shura 52. Yeah, we've got a time today. Let's see if we can get them all.
وكذلك أوحينا إليك روحا من أمرنا ما كنت تدري ما الكتاب ولا الإيمان ولكن جعلناه نورا نهدي به من نشاء من عبادنا وإنك لتهدي إلى صراط مستقيم.
The end of this story is وكذلك, and just like that, أوحينا إليك, or revealed to you, روحا من أمرنا. Yeah, روحا من أمرنا. That's how he describes it, subhanahu wa ta'ala. روح is a spirit. We reveal to you a spirit from our matter. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the Quran in this ayah, he describes the Quran as a ruh, as a spirit, as something that grants life, something that is alive, that grants life. وكذلك أوحينا إليك روحا من أمرنا. We gave you a spirit. We gave you life. ما كنت تدري ما الكتاب ولا الإيمان. You knew nothing about books, revelation, and iman. You didn't know about any of this stuff. ولكن جعلناه نورا. But indeed, we made it a source of light. نهدي به من نشاء من عبادنا. That we use to guide whomever we choose from our servants. وإنك لتهدي. And because you have this spirit with you, and because you have this light with you. إِنَّكَ لَتَهْدِي إِلَى صِرَاطٍ مُسْتَقِيمٍ. Indeed, you guide towards a straight and righteous path. صِرَاطِ اللَّهِ, the path of Allah. الَّذِي لَهُ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ. The one who, to him belongs everything in the cosmos and in the earth. أَلَا إِلَى اللَّهِ تَصِيرُ الْأُمُورِ. Indeed, to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, all matters end up. All matters end, all matters destinations are with him subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's how he describes the Quran. أوحينا إليك روحا من أمرنا. روح. سبحان الله. It's a beautiful description. The Quran is a spirit. It's life. It's like يعني, the people were dead on the inside. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted and revealed to the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام a ruh from his matter, a ruh, something that will grant you life. You didn't know. He's telling him, عليه الصلاة والسلام, he's telling him, you don't know. You didn't know anything about the kitab or the iman. This was not something you understood. But we granted it to you. And we made it for you as a beacon of light that you would use to guide yourself and that we use to guide others. And indeed, the path that you guide people to is that of righteousness that is straight because you carry that beacon with you, because you carry that spirit. رُوحًا مِّنْ أَمْرِنَا. And it's a beautiful description of the Book of Allah. All right. Let's do Zukhruf 67. You may have to come back later, but 67 for now.
الأخلاء يومئذ بعضهم لبعض عدو إلا المتقين.
So when you talk about companionship, and this is not the first time throughout this month that we've talked about an ayah that points out some aspect of companionship for sure, and it won't be the last probably either. But this ayah is quite scary. Al-Akhila is a plural of Khalil, of a close friend, a best friend, someone that you spend the majority of your time with, someone that you consider to be within your very close and inner circle. Al-Akhila, these best friends, يَوْمَ إِذٍ, on the Day of Judgment, بَعْضُهُمْ لِبَعْضٍ عَدُوٍ, will be enemies of one another. إِلَّا الْمُتَّقِينَ, except those who shared piety with one another. Except those who shared mindfulness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala together. Aside from that, friends on the Day of Judgment will be enemies, meaning they will hate one another. They will not want to be in each other's vicinity. They don't want to see each other, they want to talk to each other. They want to be as far away from one another as possible. Except those who were sharing mindfulness of Allah or taqwa during their lives. Because what people who are close to you remind you of Yawm al-Qiyamah, yeah, is what you spent your time doing. That's what they're going to remind you of. You're going to see someone, and what they're going to remind you of is the time, is the things you did with them. Because that's the focus. The focus changes. And Yawm al-Qiyamah, the focus of what you're thinking about is a little bit different than what you think about in dunya. Unless, of course, you mature spiritually, and then you start thinking in dunya about the same things you're going to be thinking about Yawm al-Qiyamah, and that's the way to make sure you make it. Because in Yawm al-Qiyamah, you're not interested about any interpersonal interests that you have with them, like in terms of what benefits you can have from them or the benefit they can have with you. You're not focused on good times you spent with them or good times you're going to spend with them. You're not looking at that. Yawm al-Qiyamah, you're just wondering, what were the interactions I had with this person, and which side of the scale are those interactions going to be? Like the time I spent with this person, and which side of the scale? And the hasanat or the sayyiat. And if the time you spent with this person was not invested in taqwa, in doing khayr, in doing good deeds together, in helping each other being closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then that person is going to, in your heart, turn to someone that you despise. So the best of friends, they ain't best of friends yawm al-qiyamah. Unless they made the choice of making sure that they supported one another in terms of their journey towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If they supported one another on that journey, that's a different story. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam tells us in the hadith, Hadith Qudsi, يقول الله المتحابون في جلالي على منابر من نور يوم القيامة يغبطهم عليها الأنبياء. The people who love one another in dunya, for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for the sake of of service of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they find themselves on the Day of Judgment on manabir, they're on a minbar, they're on a pedestal. Min nur, that are made of light. Everyone can see them. The prophets are envious of them. Prophets will see them and are be envious of them until they're granted that which is similar to it or better. But when they see them, they're envious because of how dignified they are, to how what high esteem Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala holds them at. It's a very valuable thing to love someone in dunya. It's probably one of the most valuable things you'll ever do. One of the most precious things you have is a good friend. Someone that you truly love for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You don't want anything else. You're not looking for any form of worldly benefit. You're not banking on anything working out later on in the future where you can cash in and on that friendship and working out. No, you just love them because they help you be closer to Allah, and you help them to be closer to Allah. And this relationship where you guys are making each other better human beings is beneficial for the both of you, and you love them because of that. That's what love for the sake of Allah means. That it's a mutual relationship where we're both helping each other be closer to God and to be better people and to make sure Yawm al-Qiyamah are in better status. That is a very valuable thing, because not only is it extremely precious in dunya, but it's also extremely beautiful Yawm al-Qiyamah. It's extremely beautiful. You're on a mimbar made of light that people look at and they envy, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, أنت متحب, you had someone who you truly loved for the sake of Allah. And again, I've talked about this before. Love is not just an emotion. In Islam, it never is. Right? There has to be a haqiqah for it. There has to be evidence, proof of it. So you love someone for the sake of Allah, but then you don't participate in doing khayr with them, or they don't participate in doing khayr with you. You don't encourage them to do better, and they don't encourage you to do better, and there's no discouragement of bad things, and the process is not based on that. So the love itself is meaningless, really. It's just a feeling. It doesn't do anything for you, Yawm al-Qiyamah. The actual love is going to be something that has actual proof to it. There's some evidence to support it. So this ayah, as scary as it is, it also gives a glimmer of real hope. Like there is light at the end of the tunnel here. And illa al-muttaqin, if you're building a relationship with people around you on taqwa, then you're going to be fine. And that person, not only will you enjoy their company here in dunya, it's very valuable, by the way, it doesn't happen very often. If you are fortunate enough to have people in your life who draw you closer to Allah, and whom you do the same for, and you have that ability to help, you guys help each other on your way to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then you hold on to them, because they don't come very often in life, and they're not easy to, it's not an easy catch. If you're able to hold, because that not only will they help you in this life, but Yawm al-Qiyamah, you guys will also be looking for one another, because you know what you're going to get out of this. This relationship is going to take you even farther than you ever thought. But without that, الْأَخِلَّاءُ يَوْمَئِذٍ بَعْضُهُمْ لِبَعْضٍ عَدُوٌ. Aside from that, friends on the Day of Judgment, best friends are enemies of one another. They're enemies of one another. It's a scary, so an intimate relationship can go either way. This is what this ayah is saying. An intimate relationship, a strong relationship, can mean one of two things Yawm al-Qiyamah. Either a mimbar of nur, that people are envious of, or animosity. So you have to choose. Choose your relationships. Who are the people that are around you? What do you do with them? How do you guys, what is the basis of the relationship? What is it based on? And be picky a little bit, it's okay. This is where you'd be picky. This is where you can be a little bit, meticulous. When it comes to your time, when it comes to your dunya and akhirah, when it comes to where you're going to be, choose your friends wisely. Very wisely. That's the most. This is the most important decision, in my opinion, in your life. The most decision in your life, the most important one is who you spend your time with. Forget about all the other stuff. Wallah, we spend a lot of time thinking about where we're going to live and the house and what type of car. And well, I see people spend like months trying to figure out what type of car to buy. Sheikh, just buy whatever. It's all the same. Who cares? Like, buy an old car. So it doesn't matter if it gets bumped up and stuff. Don't buy something you're going to be preoccupied before you buy, and then be even more preoccupied after you buy. And think about the people that you're going to be. That's what you should really think about. Who am I spending my time with? Who am I surrounding myself with? That's where you have to be very careful, because that's going to dictate what happens to you on the Day of Judgment, as this ayah explains. All right, let's do number 52 actually in Surah Az-Zukhruf. Is that okay? 52. Let's go back one. Yeah, let's go back one. And then we'll do Dukhan and Jati and Abulta. We have enough time. Yeah. I don't know why they're not voting these things in. Go ahead.
أَمْ أَنَا خَيْرٌ مِّنْ هَذَا الَّذِي هُوَ مَهِينٌ وَلَا يَكَادُ يُبِينُ.
So Surah Az-Zukhruf that talks about this mentality of materialism, right? And that's why this ayah that I talked about a moment ago is in Surah Az-Zukhruf. Because friendships that are based merely on materialistic benefit of dunya, it doesn't pan out very nicely yawm al-qiyamah. Within the Surah Az-Zukhruf, you have a story of Fir'aun and Fir'aun and Musa. And the story of Fir'aun and Musa in Surah Az-Zukhruf is a little bit different than the way it's told in other story and other parts of the Quran. Because you have a piece of it where Fir'aun makes an argument of why people should not listen to Musa and listen to him. We don't have that elsewhere in the Quran, it's only there. So he stands up, وَنَادَى فِرْعَوْنُ فِي قَوْمِي قَالَ يَا قَوْمِي أَلَيْسَ لِي مُلْكُ مِصْرَ وَهَذِهِ الْأَنْهَارُ تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِي أَفَلَا تُبْصِرُونَ أَمْ أَنَا خَيْرٌ مِنْ هَذَا الَّذِي هُوَ مَهِينٌ وَلَا يَكَادُ يُبِينُ فَلَوْلَا أُلْقِيَ عَلَيْهِ أَسْوِرَةٌ مِنْ ذَهَبٍ أَوْ جَاءَ مَعَهُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ مُقْتَرِنِينَ فَاسْتَخَفَّ قَوْمَهُ فَأَطَاعُوهُ. So he stood up and said, "Oh my people, do I not have the sovereignty of Egypt? And do the rivers of Egypt not run under my feet? Do you not see? Am I not better than the one? Am I not خَيْرٌ مِنْ هَذَا الَّذِي هُوَ مَهِينٌ, this person who has no status? Mahin means someone who cannot protect themselves, someone who's not لَيْسَ لَهُ مَنَعَ, from ihana, from humility, from this person who is humble, who is weak, who has no protection, does not have an army, does not. Am I not khayrun? Who is better? Am I not better than this person who is mahin? Wala yakadu yubin, who can barely even articulate, can barely speak properly. Musa alayhi salam had a speech impediment. Musa alayhi salam had a speech impediment. He had a lisp of some sort. He couldn't speak properly. He wasn't good at public speaking at all. And when he was told by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to do it, he said, Harun, can you add him to the package, the deal? I need Harun. وَأَخِي هَارُونُ هُوَ أَفْصَحُ مِنِّي لِسَانًا فَأَرْسِلْهُ مَعِي يَرِدْ أَنْ يُصَدِّقُونِي. Harun was much more articulate. Send him with me as a prophet so he can help me along, because I'm not good at this piece. He knew what he was good at, what he wasn't good at, alayhi salatu wasalam. Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam, one of the most highly revered and respected prophets of all time, alayhi salatu wasalam. He's beloved to us. You must be. You should. You should love Musa alayhi salam. He's all in the Quran. So if you love the Quran, you love Musa alayhi salam 100%. But he had that speech impediment. He couldn't speak properly. There was a lisp when he spoke. So Fir'aun mocks him for it. Am I not better than this person who lacks protection, does not have a strong army to protect him, and he has a speech impediment? So what? What does a speech impediment have to do with the message that Musa alayhi salam? But that's the logic of materialism. Yeah, he's judging based on, well, I'm stronger, I have more wealth, I don't have a lisp. And then he goes, فَلَوْلَا أُلْقِيَ عَلَيْهِ أَسْفِرَةٌ مِّنْ ذَهَبٍ أَوْ جَاءَ مَعَهُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ مُقْتَرِنِينَ. Well, let him show us the wealth that he has, the asfira, the bracelets of gold. Let him show us the malaika that come and support him. فَاسْتَخَفَّ قَوْمَهُ. So he treated his people stupidly. That's what istakhaffa means. He treated them idiotically, in a stupid manner. فَأَطَاعُوا, and they followed him. إِنَّهُمْ كَانُوا قَوْمًا فَاسِقِينَ. Indeed, there are people who are deviant. Because his argument is hollow, it's empty. It's actually very offensive. And for you to judge someone's idea based on, to mock a speech impediment. Right? Be careful in your life what you make fun of. Be careful. Mockery and satire is a very dangerous thing to use. It's very dangerous. Even amongst friends, be careful. Be careful what you joke about. especially when something is you can't control it. You know, when something that has nothing to do with it, Musa is not accountable for being Mahin, for not having a lot of people to support him and having an army and having wealth. And he's not accountable for being La Yakadu Yubin. He has issues with articulation. It's not his fault. It's just how he is, alayhi salatu wasalam. Why is to mock people for that or to make fun of them? It's very low. It's under the belt, wallah. Be careful. People will do it to you in your life. Don't stoop to that. Don't get down into the mud with them. People who are empty, they'll stop talking about the idea and they'll mock the person. Right? It's a known political tactic. When they have a strong argument, you stop going after because you're going to lose the argument. So you talk about you pick something out of their past. You look for maybe some picture that they had where they weren't at their best behavior or something, and then you focus on that. You try to steer the attention, the public opinion, towards like a character flaw or something that. And even when it's character, it's at least something that they can choose. But when you steer it towards something they can't influence at all, it's just very it's very low. And Fir'aun was so scared of Musa alayhi salam. Think about this. This is the value of a strong idea. That someone who literally rules Egypt, he's scared of Musa. So he has to make this argument. Am I not better? Do I not have more? Am I not stronger? He can't even speak properly. He's trying to get people to... فَاسْتَخَفَّ قَوْمَهُ. He spoke to them stupidly. And they listened to him. And they followed him. Because that's what they wanted to do. That's what Alu Fir'aun wanted to do. فَانْتَقَمْنَا مِنْ فَلَمَّا أَسَفُونَ انْتَقَمْنَا مِنْ. When they did that, we punished them for it. Because, what is this argument? How is this acceptable? Be careful of what you make fun of and how you look at people for things. So let's do 38 and 39 from Dukhan. 38-39.
وَمَا خَلَقْنَا السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ وَمَا بَيْنَهُمَا لَاعِبِينَ مَا خَلَقْنَاهُمَا إِلَّا بِالْحَقِّ وَلَكِنَّ أَكْثَرَهُمْ لا يَعْلَمُونَ.
Surah Dukhan is warning us from being delusional in the way that we think and missing the signs. In the midst of the surah, you have this beautiful ayah. These two ayat, وَمَا خَلَقْنَا السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ وَمَا بَيْنَهُمَا لَاعِبِينَ مَا خَلَقْنَاهُمَا إِلَّا بِالْحَقَّ وَلَكِنَّ أَكْثَرَهُمْ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. We did not create the cosmos and the earth with the intention of play. He says this, subhanahu wa ta'ala, لَاعِبِينَ. We didn't do this, we're playing around. We're just wasting time. We're just doing something for the sake of doing something. No. مَا خَلَقْنَاهُمَا إِلَّا بِالْحَقِّ. We only created them. This is the royal we of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I only created them بِالْحَقِّ. With the purpose of pursuing and achieving righteousness. That's why I created them. It was not a game. It was not a joke. We were not playing around. This was haqq. So do not miss that. Do not look around and assume that this story of existence is humorous somehow. That's something to be taken lightly, because it's not. It's very serious. Samawat wal ard were created bil haqq. Most people don't know this, but that's what it is. It's through haqq, and only through haqq things will prevail. And when you go against haqq, things will crumble and fail. And on the day of judgment, we'll be held to the criteria that is al haqq. That's what we're going to be held to. We're going to be asked about that. And if you live your life in a way where you thought it was fun and games, then Yawm al-Qiyamah is going to be very painful. It's going to be very, very painful, because those who look at everything in a light manner, it's okay to take yourself lightly. So, Prophet alayhi salatu was always smiling. He joked a lot, alayhi salatu, actually, if you study his life, he was constant. But he didn't take serious things lightly. And he knew where the line was drawn. And he knew where he had to focus. And he had to be someone who was capable of making actual decisions and مَا خَلَقْنَاهُمَا لَاعِبِينَ. We did not create them playing. Just in case, it's as if the ayah is saying, you guys seem to be playing a lot. By the way, we didn't create all this with the intention of play. We created them with the intention of haqq. So hold yourself to that standard. Hold yourself to the standard of haqq and see where you are from it. Because Yawm al-Qiyamah, that's what you're going to be held to. So you come with a book that is filled with just play. When the book is just play, it's just ongoing play. Nothing was taken seriously. There were no decisions that had any substance to them. There was no commitment, no grit, there was no perseverance. It was just ongoing play every time you had the opportunity. Yeah, I don't know how well that will pan out. I don't know how well the outcome would be. Because he did not create them playing, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that serves as a warning for all of us to contemplate. Let's do ayah number 23 of Jathiyah.
أفرأيت من اتخذ إلهه هواه وأضله الله على علم وختم على سمعه وقلبه وختم على سمعه وقلبه وجعل على بصره غشاوة فمن يهديه من بعد الله أفلا تذكرون.
نعم. سورة الجاثية, the warning in it is beware of arrogance when you have knowledge. Beware when you're knowledgeable, when you understand the deen, beware of allowing arrogance to misguide you. So at this ayah towards the end of it, it says, أَفَرَأَيْتَ مَنِ اتَّخَذَ إِلَٰهَهُ هَوَاهُ. Have you seen or have you observed the one who takes their Lord, their deity, their worshipped one? Al-ilah is the worshipped one. That's kind of the bottom line of the translation. Al-ilah is the worshipped one, the one worthy of worship. That's what ilah means. So the one who chose the one that's worthy of worship, the person who chose the one worthy of worship in their lives to be hawa, to be his desires or his whims. And whatever he wants, whatever his nafs wants, that's his worshipped one. Which means, obviously there's really no religion, and I looked this up because I wanted to make sure, there's no religion in the world that where you worship your desires. Like there's no creed that has that in it. So, and the people of Quraysh did not believe that either. So this is a figure of speech. And the figure of speech is very revealing of how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sees the concept of uluhiyyah. When he talks about an ilah, how he understands it, subhanahu wa ta'ala. He understands it as in the one whom you worship in terms of whom you fully obey. The thing that you obey all the time, the thing that you listen to immediately, that you don't question, that's your ilah. That's the worshipped one for you. Yeah? Now you may state it, you may not state it, it doesn't make that much of a difference, because at the end is actions that will prove whether something was correct or true or versus not. So the Prophet ﷺ is being told, you see the one who chose his worshipped one, the person who chose his worshipped one to be his own whims and desires. And that type of person is the one who, anytime there is a dilemma in their mind or in their lives, and the scales of reason kind of are set up in your brain, it's like a part, it comes with a toolkit of life. You have these scales, and you put things that have weight in them, and you try to weigh. Every time the nafs wants something, you always go with it. If the nafs wants something, you go with it. It's always whatever the nafs wants. It's always whatever the desires of the nafs are. And that's your worshipped one. And you can say la ilaha illallah, but then yawm al-qiyamah, your actions are going to disprove it. And it's going to prove that. وَأَضَلَّهُ اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ عِلْمٍ. To make this ayah a bit more scarier. Because there's an ayah similar to this in Surah Al-Furqan. أَرَأَيْتَ مَنْ اتَّخَذَ إِلَٰهَهُ هَوَىٰ أَفَأَنْتَ تَكُونُ عَلَيْهِ وَكِيلًا. With no extras, just that concept. But in Surah Al-Jathi, it adds something. قَالَ وَأَضَلَّهُ اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ عِلْمٍ. And this person was misguided to do that, عَلَىٰ عِلْمٍ, with knowledge. They had knowledge. Like they knew stuff. Like they had studied the Quran, they studied the Sunnah, they knew. But they were misguided even though they had knowledge. Because what's the value of knowledge if it does not teach you how to control your whims and control your desires and control your urges? What's the point of knowledge if it does not allow you to distinguish between that which is khayr coming from Allah and that which is coming from shaitan and that which is originating from the selfishness of the nafs that is inside of you? And if the knowledge that you have does not allow you to distinguish between these things, to make decisions based on it, then what was the point of that knowledge? This knowledge will only make you more arrogant and more vain and more envious and more ostentatious, and will take you farther away from Allah. As the quote is, من ازداد علما, right? وَلَمْ يَزْدَدْ هُدَى لَمْ يَزْدَدْ مِنَ اللَّهِ إِلَّا بُعْدًا. The person who increases in knowledge and does not increase in guidance only increases himself in distance away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَأَضَلَّهُ اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ عِلْمٍ. The person who took his worshipped one as his own whims and his nafs, his whims and the desires of his nafs, and Allah misguided him even though he was a person of knowledge. وَخَتَمَ عَلَىٰ سَمْعِهِ وَقَلْبِهِ وَجَعَلَ عَلَىٰ بَصَرِهِ غِشَاوَةً. And that person, يعني, sealed their ears and sealed their heart. And there is a seal in front of their eyes. There's a curtain down in front of them. فَمَنْ يَهْدِيهِ مِنْ بَعْدِ اللَّهِ. Who is going to guide him if not Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? أَفَلَا تَذَكَّرُونَ. Do you not contemplate these things? It's very easy. It's very easy to go down a route where you lose control and you lose contact with yourself, with who you are and what you're doing and why you're doing things. And you lead yourself to believe that you're doing really well when the actuality of it is that you're not. When the reality is that you're not really doing that well. doesn't mean that if you're not doing well that you should feel bad about yourself. But acknowledging that is important. Like knowing that I'm not actually close. I'm far from where I need to be. I'm far. Because if you don't, then there's no fight. There's no fight. If you're not acknowledging that the nafs has desires and it wants you to do things and you have to be fight, then there's no fight. You're not putting up a fight. Even if you're losing the fight, but at least you put it up. If you stop putting up a fight and you actually think that what you want is the right thing and you shape it in that manner, you shape it so that it seems that what you want is right, and you defend what you want at all times because you believe that you're right, and then your desires becomes your worshipped one, and you'll be misguided even though you have knowledge. You actually make ilm, you'll make knowledgeable arguments to defend what it is that you're doing. But there's a seal on your ears, on your heart, and your eyes. You can't see it. You have no insight anymore. You don't know. فَمَنْ يَهْدِيهِ مِنْ بَعْدِهِ It's very dangerous, wallahi. May Allah preserve us, wallahi, and protect us. To have knowledge and use that knowledge to self-serve. To have knowledge and use the knowledge you have to self-serve just to get what you want. Some hidden underlying struggle of power that you're engaging in, trying to get yourself into a position, and you're using knowledge and you're acting like you're all... Allahu Akbar. This ayah is there to scare you. You could be knowledgeable and still use that knowledge in a way where it just serves your self-desires and end up far from where you need to be. Let's do one more. Let's do ayah number 19 of Surah Al-Ahqaf. 19.
وَلِكُلِّ دَرَجَاتٌ مِّمَّا عَمِلُوا وَلِيُوَفِّيَهُمْ أَعْمَالَهُمْ وَهُمْ لَا يُظْلَمُونَ
Like I said, Surah Al-Ahqaf tells you that the outcomes are in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You can do everything right and things don't work out. You can do it wrong, it works out. You don't know. You can't control it. It's just the outcomes are in His hands, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in these verses, these beautiful ayat, وَصَّيْنَا الْإِنسَانَ بِوَلَدَيْهِ إِحْسَانًا حَمَلَتْهُ أُمُّهُ كُرْهًا وَوَضَعَتْهُ كُرْهًا وَحَمْلُهُ وَفِصَالُهُ 30 شَهْرًا حَتَّى إِذَا بَلَغَ أَشُدَّهُ وَبَلَغَ 40 سَنَةً قَالَ رَبِّ أَوْزِعْنِي These beautiful ayat that talk about the importance of being pious to your parents, and when you get older, that you take care of them, take care of your offspring. And then he talks about two groups of people. Those who are, the person who is bar bi ahlihi, takes care of his parents, loves them, takes care of his children, loves Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ تَتَقَبَّلُ عَنْهُمْ أَحْسَنَ مَا عَمِلُوا Those are the ones who we accept their good deeds and we forgive their bad deeds. And then you have وَالَّذِي قَالَ لِوَالِدَيْهِ أُفٍّ لَكُمَا أَتَعِدَانِنِيَ نُخْرَجَ The person who tells his parents, uff, does not believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala altogether. Someone who is just on the wrong path. أولئك الذين حق عليهم القول في أمم قد خلت من قبلهم من الجن والإنس إنهم كانوا خاسرين. Those are the people who are going to be punished, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised that they will be punished in Jahannam with jinn and ins. The end of these verses, he says, ولكل درجات مما عملوا. And each group will be given certain degree of reward for that which they did in their lives. ولكل for both, meaning the person who was pious and good son or a good child and a good parent and a good Muslim versus the not a good child, not a good parent, not a good Muslim. وَلِكُلِّنْ For both of them, دَرَجَاتٌ مِّمَّا عَمِلُوا Certain degrees, certain darajat from what they did in their lives. وَلِيُوَفِّيَهُمْ أَعْمَالَهُمْ وَهُمْ لَا يُظْلَمُونَ And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will deliver to them the full due diligence of what they deserved and they will not be oppressed. This ayah is saying that not only do you not control the outcome of who is going to believe and who's not, you don't even control the outcome of who's going to be rewarded or not. You don't know what they're going to get. Everyone's going to be treated fairly, Yawm al-Qiyamah. No one's going to be oppressed. You think that this person is going to Jahannam, you don't know where they're going. You don't know what they're going to get. لِكُلِّن دَرَجَاتٍ Everyone's going to get a certain degree of reward for what they did in their lives. When and how is not my business, I don't know. So I don't get to say where they're going. I don't control the outcomes of who accepts Islam and who doesn't. I don't control the outcomes of where the people who accepted and didn't accept go Yawm al-Qiyamah either. And that just takes away a lot of burden. We're just focused on, here's the recommendations, here are the warnings, do it well. And then leave everything else. Leave Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala take care of the rest of it. It's not your thing. You don't have control over it. And I find that point to be extremely helpful. Subhanallah, bihamdihi, la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Jazakumullahu khair.